also some recent analyses about compatibility of oscillation experiments that probing the higher delta M squared ranges. And we have some words about some unexpected event X's that we observed below our analysis threshold. And something related to that about data from the NUMMI beam, which provides information for the Minos experiment at Fermilab as well. And then summarize. This is a picture of a MINIVM collaboration. It's a group of about 78 scientists from 16 US institutions. This is a picture in our detector belt. There's a list of names. The strategy of a MINIVM experiment is to test the LSND indication of anti-electron neutrino appearance and neutrino oscillations by keeping the same ratio of L over E, as Kanchu mentioned, and the target ratio of the distance traveled by the neutrino to the neutrino energy. Here we're looking for oscillations of nu mu into nu e's. These are the two relevant parameters under a two neutrino oscillation hypothesis, which is how we usually experimentally test for this effect. We used keep the ratio of L over E essentially the same as LSND to one, but use that about 10 times higher energy beam and that the neutrino struggle for distance that are also about 10 times larger. So we use protons from the Fermilab booster and send them to interact in a beryllium target inside a magnetic focusing horn. This focuses the positive mesons producing these interactions of the protons with the beryllium atoms, and then the mesons are allowed to decay in a vacuum airfield region, and then the hadronic component is stopped by an absorber, and then the neutrinos travel remaining about 500 meters to the detector. The integrated flux are shown here. So it's a beam dominated by nu mu's, about 94% of them. There's a small component, about 0.5% of the total flux is from nu e's. And also there's a small component of anti-electron anti mu neutrinos. So we're going to look for an excess of the electron neutrinos in this nu mu dominated beam at the detector. The minimum detector is a large 12 meter diameter sphere filled with about 800 tons of pure mineral oil. We have the initial volume about a radius of 500 centimeters from the center, accumulating about 450 tons of this material. And it's observed by 1280 inner 8-inch photomultiplier cubes, which provide 10% coverage in photocathode from the inside. And it is optically separated from a region which we call the Vito region, observed by 240 similar photomultiplier cubes, which allows us to reject incoming charged particles like cosmic rays. The neutrino interactions that we observe in the detector for MINIVM are dominated by charge current quasi-elastic interactions, which are shown here on the left plot in red for typical MINIVM energy. Shown here, about 39% of all the interactions are in this channel, in which the flavor of the outgoing lepton tells you what is the flavor of the neutrino that interacts. So that's what we use to tag our signal. Also relevant, this is the following more numerous interaction is the is charge current pi plus production, which is not very relevant for backgrounds to the oscillation search. While, for example, this is black region here accounting for about 8% of the total interactions, neutral current pi zero production, in which you get a pi zero out of the interaction with an exchange of a Z boson produced, this pi zero will decay very promptly into two photons. And if one of those two photons is missed or exits the tanks, then it will look just like an electromagnetic shower from an electron. It will be taken as an electron. This will be a very serious background for new E appearance searches. I'm going to say some more about that. We have acquired data for about 5.6 × 10⁻²⁰ protons colliding with our target in a neutrino mode, which means that the horn polarity is set up to focus positive mesons. And we have used that for all our oscillation analysis, which I'm going to be showing you today. And this is a very large sample of new mean charge from quasi-elastic interactions. We have published some analysis about those events. If you're interested, you can look at that reference. The events in the detector are very easily seen. We just simply have to look at our data acquisition window shown here. And in the topmost plot, you see a very clear excess of events in the beam window when the beam is on. If we then require that there is no activity in the Vito, you can reject most cosmogenic activity and go down to this green line here. And then if you reject, if you require that your events have a minimum threshold, produce a minimum amount of energy, then you get rid of all of this still cosmogenic activity, which comes from the decay of stubborn muons from cosmic rays inside the tank. which are electrons come from the decay of these muons, and then you get a very clean sample of neutrino interactions only in your beam window. Here's what we do with this beam window. Further, we separate those in each of those events in clusters of time and define what we call sub-events. And here again, the beam window is indicated by these vertical lines. And here, for example, two candidates of new mu charge current quasi-elastic interaction, for example, which you have in the beam window a very clear event here. And then about 2 microseconds later, the decay of this mu, which is doubling the tangle about, which is an electron that you see outside the beam window. And then black, a candidate for a new E charge current quasi-elastic interaction, which you do not have the secondary event in the outside of the beam window. And this is a very easy way, a powerful way to separate new mu induced interactions from new interactions, for example. The outline of the structure of our analysis, oscillation analysis, is schematized here. This is a diagram. We begin with a flux prediction at our detector. Then we use a cross-section model to produce finite state particles with the appropriate rates. And then those finite state particles and the kinematic distributions and everything is passed through an optical modeling of the detector medium, which simulates the propagation of particles and light and the response of the electronics. And then, beginning with the reconstruction of the light that we collect, we have two analyses. One is based on the what's called the track-based likelihood analysis, which uses a direct reconstruction of particle types and the likelihoods of those different particle hypotheses fits us as particle identification tools. And then another one based on a Wisdom decision tree machine learning algorithm, which uses a slightly less detailed reconstruction and combines a large number of slow-level variables into a powerful particle identification score. We decided that the track-based likelihood analysis, this TVL, was going to be our primary result on the basis that they gave higher sensitivity over, in general, over all the little time square versus time square theta plane. This is the, in blue, light and dark are shown the allowed LSND regions that come from their positive observation of new bar appearance. And here in the solid is the result from the sensitivity calculation, which is just based purely a Monte Carlo study from the track-based analysis and in dashed from the boosted decision tree analysis. So on that basis, we choose the TVL analysis as our primary result. Then once we have samples of the electron neutrino candidates, we bin them in reconstructive energy distribution, and we fit those under the two neutrino oscillation hypothesis and see if we find something. This is the result that we published in April last year. Here I'm showing you the reconstructed neutrino energy of all the events that pass the electron candidate selection. The data points are shown on black with statistical error bars. The red histogram with total error bars shown in our systematic uncertainty design is shown here, showing that this data is essentially consistent with the expected backgrounds. The dashed line is the best fit under the neutrino oscillation hypothesis to this data, which shows a slight, but it's still consistent with the uncertainties. The blue shows the expected new background, and the green shows the expected new E background, the intrinsic background, at 0.5% from the initial flux that leaks through this, that makes it after the cut. And in the region where we would expect the signal from 475 MeV to 1250, we see only half a sigma significance excess, which is perfectly consistent with no excess. And therefore, we can exclude the region in parameter space, again, here shown by the black line. And then from the other analysis, we have this dashed line, which is a consistent result. And this has been published last year as a reference if you want to look at it. This oscillation, as interpreted as an axis, as I mentioned, of new events over the expectation. So we have to do this. We had to understand the major backgrounds in our experiment. The most relevant one, one of the most relevant ones, was the neutral current pi zero production, as I mentioned. This has been constrained by a dedicated measurement of a sample of these types of events, and it's also helped us constrain a related background, which is the that from the case of the delta resonance, once to also a neutron extraction, you can get a delta resonance, and then we have to get it back to a neutron with a single photon, which again will look like an electron candidate event. We also have external interactions. For example, one of these same kind of events would occur outside of the detector, and the material surrounding the detector can produce this by 0. They will decay promptly into two photons, and one of the photons just also make it into the tank. The other one makes it into the tank, and there you have a type of background that you have to worry about. Also, this has been constrained with a dedicated sample of events. Also, we can constrain electron neutrinos, intrinsic electron neutrinos from kaon decay by looking at the tail of the energy distribution, where no signal is expected. It's simply by looking at that part of your energy distribution, you are constraining the background, that particular background. And also intrinsic neutrinos from muon decay, which come from the same muons that are produced by the new mu's that are very copiously produced by our flux. So by looking at the new mu interaction, new charge current quasi-elastic interactions, we can also constrain this this background. Our measurement of the new mu induced neutral current by zero rate has been recently published in FIS letters B, and this is a summary slide of that result. Here I'm showing you the reconstructed mass of the pi zero extracted from the kinematics of the two photons that are the result of the decay. And this is showing you the agreement, very nice agreement of the data and the Monte Carlo after our constraint measurement. Actually, we do a correction to our model by looking at the data after taking out the effects of resolution and inefficiency. And if we compare the raw Monte Carlo with the data, we see that we can actually improve it by correcting, by taking a ratio of these two. And this ratio is an important input to our oscillation analysis. Without it, we will have very large uncertainties on this contribution from these events to the background to our oscillation search. But once we do that, we actually will compare the shapes of the distribution, we get a very nice segment. And also, what's relevant about this paper I mentioned here is actually one can fit not the mass distribution, but for example, an angular distribution of the momentum of the pi zeros, one can extract the coherent and resonant fractions of the total number of pi zeros that are produced. And this turns out to give out a value of about 20%, which is the first indication of observation of what it was expected for some time, the neutral pi zero production of carbon at low energies. This it shows you again the energy distribution. I just show you here the green is the neutral pi zero background that's expected, and it's a very important background which we have now constrained with the previous measurement. This is the energy formula that we use, assuming charge current quasi-elastic interaction from electron neutrinos. So this is a very relevant piece of input to the oscillation analysis. Again, and here an important and nice thing to see is that this dashed line will be what we would have expected if the LSMD signal were to be observed by us in the neutrinos. We'll have seen nearly 130 events. This is a result of a combined analysis that we made using these two electron neutrino candidate samples. We can combine them in an analysis like this. We construct a chi-square statistic, which looks at the comparison between data and Monte Carlo between these three samples, nu e from the boosted decision tree analysis, nu e from the track-based likelihood analysis, and nu mu, charge current quasi-elastic samples. These nu mu samples are very high statistics. When you do this, you're going to need a correlation matrix that links the three samples, and you're going to want to put in it all the uncertainties, statistical and systematic, and especially if these two samples share a significant number of events, which they do, about 68% of the nu e's that populate the TDL sample are also in the BDT sample. So you expect by adding some new events to get some improvement. However, when we did this analysis, we needed to define which new mu charge current quasi-elastic sample to use, and we decided, well, we went with a different sample that was used for the first analysis for a particular reason, and this caused a slight loss of sensitivity of the TBL component, but it still gave us some more powerful constraint nonetheless. This is the result of that analysis. Here in the black thin lines, we show that this is the result that I showed you before, and the dashed will be the tree signal level. And in the solid thick lines in blue, for example, is a 90% confidence level from this analysis, which shows you that it doesn't improve all the way in every value of delta M square, but below about 1.2, you get a significant improvement of the coverage. And also an important feature is that the higher confidence level contours also become more important, much better than what were before. So this is a very nice method that we have developed to, and we are at right now, this is in a draft stage, and should be released soon. Also, we have done some analysis of the attempt global data analysis, not as global as those that CONCHAT does, but this is only takes data from the Tygo Time Square Synthetic Experiments, Miniboom, SMD, Carmen, and Bouguer. Bouguer looked for the experience of new yeast from the reactors. The reactor did not observe a signal of oscillations. LSMD is the only positive signal of oscillations in this group. And what we do is we compare, we calculate the compatibility of those results, which answers the question of how probable is it that all these results come from the same underlying two-neutrino oscillation hypothesis, which is very simple to analysis. And we do this by just using the chi-squared, actually the delta chi-squared surfaces for each of the experiments. And if here's just a summary of the various attempts we made, and it's interesting to compare, for example, with this group at the top, when you have LSMD, Carmen, and Miniboom, and you look at how compatible they are, they're about 25% compatible at some point that lies actually where the Bouguer experiment has excluded very, has definitely excluded oscillations. So when you add Bouguer to that combination, this comes down to about 4% compatibility. And similarly, if you just do LSMD and Miniboom, this comes out to be only 16% compatible in this analysis. And then if you add Bouguer, it's only 2%. And it's important to know this 16% really won't be the LSMD and Carmen. With this analysis, we would have to obtain only something like 40% compatibility, which comes down to 16% with Miniboom, which tells you that Miniboom was really doing a much better job than Carmen did. Oh, and this has been submitted for publication of FISRFD. We just recently got an answer from the reviewer saying that the paper has been suggested for publication. So I'm very happy about that. Another thing we can do with this global analysis is try to look for allowed regions. These would indicate where the oscillation parameters will lie under the assumption that that the results come from a given set of parameters. And then the compatibility that you get is a measure of how valid that assumption is. So for example, if you look at LSMD, Carmen, Miniboom, which had from the previous slide, a 25% compatibility, these would be the allowed regions, and this point is right outside of the allowed region from Bouguer. Bouguer has excluded the region from above, all over here from 10 to minus 2 on. And then if you add it, you end up with a single, essentially just a small blob, which has very bad compatibility. It tells you these experiments are not compatible with coming from simple two-neutrino oscillations. However, everything is great, but we do have something unexpected. Below her oscillation analysis threshold, we do observe some unexplained excess of events. This is 475 NED, where this line is shown here. And this comes from 200 to 475. And you can see clearly that the data then begins to shoot up. And we don't know exactly yet what is all the nature of this event, this excess. But we have been closing in to trying to understand this. This is a significant excess. When we looked first at the 300 to 475 two beans, which was in our first publication, we did this is significant within the uncertainties. So we opened down for the energy from 200 to 300 MeV and calculated all the systematic errors and observed that, well, this excess persists. And it becomes even more dominated by stuff that looks like single photons or electromagnetic-like things like look like those neutral current pi zero events. Because these ones are the ones that seem to be growing as well. You see in the previous bin, this is the most important background, and this is even more important now. So what we did, first looked at all of those events that look like what you would expect, even some of them look electromagnetic, like some of them look like what you would expect. There's no clear indication that there's a problem. The number of events in this bin from 300 to 475 with the time, there's no clear indication there was any problem. So what could this possibly be? Well, we think that this is sources of single gammas. Thank you. And the one thing that was pointed out to us, or we realized right away, is that photonuclear interactions were not present in the GAN Monte Carlo. And here's part of the cross-section for photonuclear interactions over the wide range of energy, distribution of energies. And you see that about 30 MeV, there is this what's called a giant dipole resonance, where you will have a photon flying through your medium, and then it will be absorbed, and you will not see it. So if you have a pi zero decay into two photons, and one of them undergoes one of these interactions, and you don't see it, and therefore you have an increased background of photon-like events. So this has been under active investigation. I have a couple more words to say about that. And also, this was proposed by Harvey Hill and Hill. Well, they pointed out, well, you know, there's this anomaly-mediated single photon production that is not in gene mounted in simulations, but it's certainly in the standard model, so you should add that. So this has been under investigation. Still, we have not included that in our efforts. We're certainly trying to do so. So advances in understanding these axes, I'm going to summarize some of what we have done recently. So we included, actually, the photonuclear effect. And that, of course, has the effect of reducing the axis because it increases the background from pi zeros that you would expect. But we have other some better handling of systematic uncertainties. Some, of course, related to these photonuclear effects. You want to put that into your estimate of the uncertainties in final state interactions. And we also have improved the measurement of the pi zeros that are induced from neutrino interactions, which is this measurement that I mentioned before. But as well, we have, and it, well, this has the opposite effect. It turns out that this wants to increase the excess slightly. Then we also incorporated the ratio of coherent versus resonance that is extracted from the shape fits to the angular distribution of the pi zeros, which this we haven't done until recently. And this increases also the excess. And finally, also the relative delta decay also related to this measurement is better handled, so this has the opposite effect. So this is conspiring to making it difficult to understand what really is going to be the end result of this. We're nearing an end of the review of all of these uncertainties and more, but they said we're not ready for release this yet, and so we have to keep tuned on that. And a related matter, this we actually can look at a neighboring source of neutrinos. As I mentioned before, the new Mie beamline, which is located in Fermilab, sends neutrinos to for the Minas experiment. The Minas experiment has a near detector in Fermilab site, and it has a far detector located in Sudan, Minnesota, and mine. So you can actually see that they have to take into account the curvature of the Earth's center beam downwards, so like 3 degrees below the horizontal. But Minibeam actually sits right here, and therefore you could see some of the neutrinos that are produced in this decay pipe. The Minibeam detector sits at an aphaxis location with respect to the beamline of about 110 milliradians. And that has a very nice effect on the flux that reaches the detector. It has an enhancement of the neutrinos from NUMIUS from kaon decay along the beam pipe at 2 GeV. And this enhancement can actually be seen. If we look at the reconstruct the energy distribution of new mu charge crinkle elastic events candidates in our detector, we see these points are data, and the dark solid, the blue solid line is the expectation. These red bars are the estimated systematic uncertainties in this. We have reasonably good agreement there. And you can see that this green component, what are coming from kaons, has a very extended tail, which comes from this enhancement of this peak. We cannot see the peak very clear because our containment requirements that the particles produced by the interactions are contained in the detector don't allow you to go very, very far beyond 2 GeV. But we can see the effect here, and this is a very nice just or proof of principle of the off-axis technique with a Horn focused beam. So this is very nice to be able to see. And of course, we can also see electroneutrinos and passing them through our candidate selection, the same selection criteria as we use for the oscillation analysis. And here we see this. And you say, well, that also looks like there is an axis there, but these energies are in a slightly different range. And also the systematic uncertainties right now are kind of bloated, so we're going to need to work really harder with this. And to this, at this point, it's not a very significant axis because these uncertainties are very large. But if we constrain this using the observed neutrino, as we did before for the boosted neutrino beam events, we can perhaps come to a better understanding of what's going on. And you know, this is promised, maybe, who knows, maybe this is related to the axis we are seeing in the booster beam. So just to give you an outlook of how it's the present material for the experiment, we collect a total of 6.6 10 to 20 protons from target neutrino mode. the later neutrino modes data set has been taking a slightly different configuration, which has some of the absorbers in the beam line allows you to change the composition of the beam. So it's not straightforward just to add that to our oscillation analysis. That we're currently trying to do. So we're making various cross-section measurements, searching for various types of oscillations with our available data, and as you see on publications being produced. We collected as well 2.5 times 10 to the 20 protons delivered to the target in anti-neutrino by switching the pump polarity. And again, we're going to make the same speed of cross-section measurements, and also we're going to search for union disappearance. That's something that's going now. In November of last year, we requested extra running for anti-neutrino modes, and it was granted. And one important point to make is that, well, you know, you've tested SMD, probably is not right, but the indication was a new E appearance experiment, new bar appearance experiment. So if you can do this with anti-neutrinos, that will be fantastic. So we can do that. And we're going to get an extra 2.5 times 10 to the 20, making a total of 5 times 10 to the 20 protons on target. We'll be taking data this year and the next. And this brings me to my summary slide, which I think my entire time. So Mini-Boone observes no evidence for new neutrino oscillations under a simple two neutrino oscillation hypothesis. We have combined our two electron neutrino analyses to touch set up tighter limit below the 1 eV². This analysis proved very promising. Analysis of Heigel time scale experiments, Caramelis and the Mini-Boone and Bouguer, are very incompatible, compatible only to a very low probability. Our lower energy excess is still in active investigation. We should expect a full update this summer. And the NUMI data is complementary to the minimum flux, but only small significance of events in the NUMI sample is seen. With the scoring uncertainties, we will plan to constrain them soon. And we have more analysis of more data in progress, and you should keep tuned if you're interested. Thank you very much.
Questions? About the low energy excess, has nobody hypothesized a new physics explanation?
Yes, I should say that, yes, that there have been a lot of attempts to try to address that. Many still, some people actually try to explain with the Muon-Bremström. Well, actually, Muon-Bremström was a standard model, but not an exotic scenario. But there are certainly several. Exotic oscillation scenarios that have been proposed to address that. But I'm not quite ready for this, I guess. Yeah,
I would have been shocked if you had said no. But any any other questions? Okay, well, let's thank the speaker again.